Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, we have old friend Ben Gordon coming back to the Switch to talk about his experiences. Ben has come out with a new book, and I'm really looking forward to hearing more about that. And Ben has been a past guest. He's one of the few people I know, and we'll get more into this in the second half, who actually survived some of these protocols that they try to mete out to the populace back in the day. Ben actually overcame that, escaped that, if you will. So.
Well, 2018, you were the very first person that I reached out to, rather informally through an email, and the title of the email was, "Uh-oh, I think I might be a MyLab." And I was just beginning to learn about this stuff, and because there were so many sightings of black helicopters and things like this. But the reason I reached out to you primarily at the beginning was because I was having recurrent nightmares about this doctor that was experimenting on me. And when I reached out to my mother about this doctor, she sort of made a grimace and she was like, "Oh, that guy." And I'm like, "Well, tell me what." She said, "Well, he seemed cool at first and he had these kind of novel ideas and seemed a little out of the mainstream and was a little bit more holistic, but his ideas got weirder and weirder and there were just some strange things about him." And I'm like, "Well," I pressed her. I was like, "Well, tell me more." And she's like, "You know who knows more? Aunt. Give her a call." So I give my aunt a call, who was the, as I was going through adolescence and things, she was the weird aunt that would talk about UFOs and spiritual stuff with me. So I had no problem calling her up. I say, "Hey, Julie, what do you think about Dr. Slidham?" And there was silence. And I said, "Hello?" And she said, I hate that man." And I said, "Tell me what happened." Well, she had been pregnant and he was insistent that she give birth at his house. And she said, "Nah, you know, I'm not going to do that." And his level of insistence got so pestering and annoying that she ended up breaking off contact with her, called the hospital and said, "Listen, when my time comes, I just don't want him anywhere near this." And they're like, "Understood, done. You're not the first complaint we've got." So she goes in to deliver, and there's thankfully some unfamiliar doctors, younger, and well, a few minutes into it, this doctor that she abhorred came in, kicked everyone out, delivered her baby, which she described as having membranes for eyes, a giant alien head, 6 fingers on both hands, 6 toes on both feet, and it wasn't breathing or it was breathing very slow. Well, he came back in and he removed the baby, didn't even give, he said, "Your baby didn't make it. This is a stillborn." She's crying there. She's left alone. No one else comes in. And she gets to the point where she goes out to the hallway and he comes back and he said, "Pretty weird that that baby had no eyes, huh?" And now when I checked back with her one additional time about this, because that was 2018, her story was a little tiny bit different. She's now in an institution for advanced dementia. So I feel like I got the real crystal clear, no hesitation story in 2018. It was about 2020 when we started noticing some stuff, right? And so really that's what set me on this path of really digging into my past. And then the book, I'll just kind of show you. It's called I Keep Not Dying. And yeah, it goes from that early stuff to the point where it became apparent that the, and I love the title where I touch on this, but it's, the title is, I Take My Helicopters Black, because there are at least 8 or 9 instances where, you know, we've all seen like the military helicopters in the distance and like, "Hey, what are those guys doing?" In my case, in each of these cases, black helicopters whiz past me so closely as to almost cause an accident in one occurrence. I was driving to Sedona for the winter in 2012. I was jackknifing through New Mexico. I hear, out of nowhere, you know, I've got my music blaring. I hear something overtake that music from my left. at a black mass moves to the point where I put my brakes on and my car is doing this. And I stopped and that thing went right past my car. It was meant to be seen. It was for my eyes only. Similarly, this had happened in Philadelphia. I got up early at 5 one morning and decided to hit this farmer's market downtown that would start at 6 on the weekends. It was a Sunday. And three of them whizzed past, same deal, to the point where wind was blowing. They were basically maybe 30 feet above street level. Another standout was I was at a lake in an area of this state where there are no helicopter tours because they are banned. They don't want that disruption. I went out there with a friend to a lake and she goes out on her little bodyboard and I'm sitting on the shore. I'm like, yeah, I'll catch you when you're done with that. And a black helicopter comes from the left, always from the left. For me, everything always enters the scene from the left and moves to the right. I do not know why this is. Comes from the left and just starts doing Cheerios right in front of me here on the lake. About 4 or 5 of them. I'm wishing I could speak to my friend about this. Like, hey, well, it takes off. She eventually comes back and I go, dude, what is the deal with that helicopter? She goes, oh, yeah, I didn't really. Yeah, probably a tour. And I go, you've lived here your whole life. There are no tours. She goes, no, there never were. Maybe there are now. Like, I was so mad at this girl. And I was like, dude, do you really think that this county would do helicopter tours in a scary looking military helicopter with no writing or advertising on the side? She goes, I don't know. And I was like, okay, I'm done with you. But anyway, there's been this long, long instance after instance history of these sort of military craft that have come near me. And I don't, like I said, I don't know the significance of the from left to right, but in my close encounters with TR-3Bs, it was the same thing.
Even with what I consider to be ET craft, there is an aspect of that coming from my left to my right. Now that you mention it, could be some deep-seated psychological reason for it. I'm not too sure. Quick point about the stillbirth that your aunt had, unfortunately. I've heard similar stories where while the baby was in the womb, it was either altered genetically or it was an alien and or alien hybrid baby / fetus to begin with that was implanted into the woman. And some of the women I've spoken to said they distinctly recall having some kind of gynecological procedure. And one woman in particular tells me she saw them pull the presumed OBGYN pull out a scaly looking baby out of her. And one of my old colleagues, I don't even know if he's still on this side of the veil, Guy Kirkwood, he was one of the very first military whistleblowers because he used to fly F-86 Sabre jets in formation. And they were tasked with intercepting UFOs and photo documenting with gun camera footage the intercepts. He became a researcher in his own right, and he spoke to a Nevada state trooper outside of Las Vegas as you're coming in from California. You have that vast expanse of desert. And then nowadays you would see the Luxor and the light at night. So the state trooper was out there to the west of Vegas, saw a light in the desert, went in to investigate within his patrol cruiser. Long story short, he was taken on board a craft, laid on a table in a gray, plunged him and his wife. He wasn't even on patrol. He was just with his wife at the time. He was the one taken on board because he was in his patrol car. And he was stuck with a long needle, and the alien, a gray, told him, we're altering your genetics. And this couple had been trying to have a baby for a long time. Finally, they conceive. They go to this hospital in Las Vegas somewhere, and a similar thing happened where they pulled out of the woman what looked like a baby gray. And this is what Betty Andreessen talked about. When she was taken on board, she saw in the table next to her a woman being worked on, and the grays had pulled an alien gray baby out of the woman. Well, the same thing happened to this Nevada State Trooper's wife, where they pulled, this was in a hospital in Las Vegas. They pulled the baby out, claimed it was dead, and took it away without the parents seeing it anymore. Later on, someone, supposedly, they took the baby down to the crematorium in the basement of the hospital and burned the body up. Now, one of the members of the hospital staff showed pictures of the baby to the state trooper, and he said it looked like a little alien baby. So a similar thing happened where the gray did something, injected him with something that changes genetics, quote unquote, and then he winds up impregnating his wife. They've been trying to conceive for a long time. Miraculously, they conceive. And then when the baby comes to term, it's an alien. They take it out, and then they hush the whole thing up. So I've heard of similar stories. And as far as the surveillance of you was concerned, was there ever an effort at some point to kind of shunt you into some kind of special magnet program school or school for gifted kids, or take you out of your class for like a certain length of time and go to school with other kids and then brought back? Anything happen like along those lines?
I try to be very, very, very careful about my memories and to make sure they are mine. One of the, I guess, soft criticisms I'd have, I hear a lot of people validating each other in a way too eager manner. I try to keep myself in this place where I don't actively believe or disbelieve other people's stories. I'm interested in your experience, and I apply those exact same rules to myself. I had these experiences. I do not know where the matrix begins, and I do not know where it ends. That being said, I do not have a memory of sort of like a tag program proper. However, I have a traumatic memory that makes little sense, which is being about 5 years old in the downtown library in Green Bay and being underground many, 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 many floors. And I was screaming as this elevator came up and I was alone. Anyone that knows my mother knows that she never lost sight of a single one of us. She always erred on the side of something terrible is going to happen. Where's my kid? Where's my kid? She would never let me go. So this very powerful, clear memory is me coming up way too many floors, and I'm screaming and crying. The doors open, and I'm on the main floor, and there's a half-moon crowd of, like, where did this child just come from, and traumatized from that. Well, when my wife was here, I had to go back to that library for the first time in forever, and I had to use the printer for something. And I went upstairs to where the printers are, and I had this massive flash of a project that I was doing with other kids, and it was a night project, and it was super involved, and there were teams of kids that were pitted against each other, and I looked, searched, like, what would I have ever been at this library before at night, right? And there was nothing. There's never been a night program there. So that's the way I know there's something to this is I felt physically sick for a day and a half after this. I did not feel good. I wanted to leave town. I've learned a lot about my hometown during the time before that happened and after. There were instances whereby they would be sort of breaking ground for a new building and they'd find an entire rail car under the city. They'd find rail cars. There were underground tunnels like in so many of our cities. And I think when I go back and read the UFO reports and things from the 90s and the 80s when I was growing up, they're off the charts in that area, including my own reports that I made way back then. There's something pretty massive happening, and I believe Lake Michigan has a lot of strangeness, high strangeness surrounding it. Oh, I brought this out just for kicks because I just found it when I was looking for something else. I was so averse to authority, to any structure. And I was being hounded by the normal, the regular military to join the regular military. They were showing up at my little haunts. They were showing up at friends' houses. They were like, hey, I'll buy you McDonald's. And I'm like, dude, I'm not joining the army band. I'm already writing songs. Like I can rip like a heavy metal kid. You know, I had some abilities as a kid. That I was tapped for some other things. I just don't know exactly what those things might have been.
Well, they were on to you from an early age. So it's possible that once they inducted you, gotten you into the military, and I've heard this from a number of other abductees in my labs who'd spent time in the military, that they wound up having missing time, weird my lab experiences, being taken underground, because in that military environment, you're pretty much in their in their grasp. They've got you. I mean, it's not that difficult for them to access you when you're a civilian, but it's really easy for them if you're in the military and on a military base.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so much in my family. You know, the night of the first TR-3B sighting, which I didn't know the term TR-3B. I had this kind of wake up in the middle of the night thing recently where I had a, you can call them uploads, downloads, epiphany, whatever. I'm not saying this is true, but it was a what if. And I kind of woke up in bed and go, what if the TR-3Bs are 100% alien? And to for damage control, they thought it less like damaging to just say, oh, that's something that we're working on.
There is this belief, especially amongst surface level types, that anything triangular is of necessity man-made. That's nonsense. The triangular aeroform is not just a universal aeroform, but a multiversal form. Many, many civilizations have developed triangular craft, including the deep black aerospace line. Like, for example, I'll give you one little anecdote. I'd had a abductee support group meeting at my house in Claremont, a suburb of San Diego, lived right mm-hmm. on the edge of a canyon in a cul-de-sac. And the meeting had ended. Everyone had gone home. And I went outside to just get a breath of fresh air. Flying in from the north, from the direction of Poway, a suburb to the north, just beyond Poway is an underground base called Site 31, where General Dynamics and other aerospace corporations had an operation. Me and a colleague investigated the place. We saw gigantic city bus-sized air conditioner ducts coming out of the ground. Anyway, coming from the direction of this underground base was this triangular-shaped craft, a row of lights on either long side, and it just did a slow transit, you know, right over the canyon, right over me. It was almost as if it was saying, we know you had an abductee support group meeting. We're just saying hello again. And the thing about it is, there's no way I could determine 100% certainty if it was a man-made craft. It could very well have been an ET craft, because ETs do that too. They just pop up and let you know in a very personal way. You could be in a crowd of onlookers. You will be the only one to see them manifest, because they've done something.
Yeah.
Manifested in a way that only your vision is able to, you know, sense their appearance.
Yeah, in the same manner by which, you know, some believe reptilian shapeshifters don't shapeshift in the way that we would imagine, like their whole physical form. They just scramble the way you decode reality. So they're actually, it's an interference pattern that you're kind of seeing. I mean, I don't know which way. I did see someone shapeshift right before my eyes before, and it sure looked like it was them shapeshifting. But by that same token, it is possible for individuals to be allowed to decode something.
Yes.
And those around you will not see the same thing.
I've heard this from a great many people. For whatever reason, they personalize the experience. You're the only one that could see a craft, for example, in a crowd of potential onlookers. And if you were to point it out, oh, look, can you see that? You just look like a crazy person. But what they've done is they've attuned their density, whatever, to synchronize with your vision at that moment. So, yes, there's something to that. Now, tell us about the shape-shifting experience. What happened there?
At the time that I saw this particular person morph, I didn't know the totality of who that person was. This was a person that had become a friend via another friend. I was doing recording and production work for this person, and this person is an author. He's extremely left-wing, sort of a left-wing professor, a literal professor, but was in my extended friend group, and he was brought in, and he's nice around the edges, like, you would never think there was something off about him at first, second, third, fourth glance at all. Well, we went to a cabin to pick morel mushrooms, and we hadn't even really gotten into making dinner yet. And I looked over at him, and I don't want to say it was a reptilian, but it was halfway there. It was like halfway in phase of a reptilian and half still him. But it was clear as day. It was like, and I just kind of went like, blah, 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 blah. And I just kind of was like, maybe this is a me thing. Well, it turned out later that this person was, over the years, actively undermining me and speaking ill of me and causing rifts with other friends. and saying mistruths. And I had dated a good friend of his wife's who I would say she's almost evil. And she caused me, I had a series of alien love bites that took me a long time to get over. I kept finding women that would do this. But this particular woman, I was drawn to her because A, she was kind of sexy, like for real, like she just was. She was funny, like bam, bam, bam. But she slowly started ripping me apart and telling me that I had emotional issues and I should really see a therapist. And she like hit me one time, right? So she didn't do this. She said like, shut up, and kind of cuffed me with the butt of her hand. But I'm sorry, that's not okay, right? So I was like, all right, no, I'm leaving. That is not okay. Well, maybe a month later, I was with the shape-shifting friend and one other friend. Me and the girl had long since broken up. I hadn't talked to my friend about it. They divulged a bunch of information about her that I didn't know that made me feel empathy towards her. Like, shit, I didn't know she had that level of abuse. I wrote an email to her saying, hey, man, you came up in conversation and I didn't know that about you. I'm really sorry that that stuff happened to you, but I just want to let you know that I learned that you got physical with another person that you dated. And I'm the second one that I know of, and that's a pattern. And you should really try to figure out what's going on because it's not okay. It's not okay to hit. It's not okay. And she took that email and sent it back to the friend, and he called and just started screaming at me, expletive after expletive, how dare you? And from that point, we never really talked. But the point is, he knew this person's past because he was friends with the other person that she dated, and she gave him literal hell. So there he was with two friends that he was kind of, you know, playing matchmaker with, and then this woman was abusing both of them. And he got mad in particular because in the email to her, I said, I felt kind of betrayed by this friend for not warning that you hadn't healed your trauma, right? So, like I mentioned earlier, a huge part of the book, and these are some of the most entertaining alien love bite stories ever. There was a girl just prior to the one that I'm talking about that's kind of a long chapter, but it's unbelievable what they will do to derail you through. I mean, our weakest part is our hearts and, you know, our libido. It's like men have that issue where they just, especially in their 30s and 30s, your discernment is so off. If there's a bewitching, funny, sexy girl, you will ignore so many warning signs and you'll get, you will absolutely get your ass handed to you by these people. And I had a rough go of it there for a long time.
Well, it's a louche fest. And when you find yourself in the midst of the alien love bite, it's almost like a bottomless pit. Like sometimes you get a feeling like this is no way out, right?
And right.
Because it's all consuming. It's beyond this, what they call a chemical attraction. There's an energetic aspect to it. There's a psychic linkage. I mean, and there's an astral linkage as well. There's an interdimensional linkage.
Without question. I mean, the first woman, the one that takes up the most space in the book because the story is so out there, we met one time. And then I was in Florida for a winter. She was still in Milwaukee. I began dreaming of her every single night, and she began dreaming of me every single night. So I'm like, why is this person showing up? And I'm thinking about that thought under a tree at a park in Sarasota. My phone blips. It's my old boss from my old job. And she goes, hey, how many times did you work with Amanda when you were back? And I said, one time. She was my replacement. She goes, oh. And I said, why do you ask? And she said, because she won't stop talking about you. And she says that you're in her dreams every night. I go, you got to be kidding me. And as we're having that conversation, my phone makes the Facebook noise. I go, okay, I'll talk to you later. And I go, and this same woman has liked all of my posts going back like 4 years. And then she messages me at like friend requests. I'm like, yeah. And once again, she's funny. She was sexy. We start talking, and I I was given, so I would, every time I talked to her on the phone, I would get a visual of where she was. And I go, dude, are you at blah? And she goes, how did you know? And I go, I don't know. I explained the entire layout of her house. She could tell if a little tiny thing was, we had like these energetic connection that would lead any rational person to believe that this is your soulmate.
Yeah, and that's the trap. Ooh, we're twin flames. We're soulmates. We sync up in so many. Well, it's a big manipulation, pal. I'm sorry to tell you. Like, you were able to do with that gal, I wouldn't call it spontaneously, but to some degree, your psi abilities, the both of you, were amped up. But to be sure, there's some element of some kind of external manipulation going on. But you were able to pull off spontaneously, so to speak, what Stanford Research Institute and Ingo Swann and all them, they had to do experiments. Well, I'm going to go off here and you tell me back at home base what I'm seeing, right? You were able to do that spontaneously. And what people don't realize is the internet is an electromagnetic conduit. So when she sends you a friend request, that reinforces the linkage. And then I don't want you to delve into it here, you know, TMI, too much information, whatever you're comfortable with. But there's also the sexual component where not only do you begin dreaming about each other, you begin having dreams of intimacy with that other person to the point where you, in normal waking consciousness, you know when they're thinking about you, you know when they're having eroticized thoughts about you, it begins to affect you in a sexual arousal type way because the arousal mechanism for both of you have been amped up because you're both vibing at a very high level on the same frequency at that point.
Yeah, well, these entities and forces are able to pick up energy fields from disparate parts of the planet, merge them together, get them comfortable with each other, re-separate them, and all of a sudden there's this longing. Like, someone understands me, and, you know, we had this beautiful thing. And it is easily the most effective tool to derail someone who has natural spiritual abilities. It's, and honestly, it wasn't until I found Evie Lorgan. I mean, I must have burned a bushel of sage because I didn't know what to do. I had no idea. And it wasn't until I learned these other stories that I found ways to absolutely block these things from happening. Although I had much more learning. There were a couple more girls that didn't reach that level of insanity. But yeah, it took a good while. And when I broke free from that, the one that we're talking about, the forces that put us together were so upset that I was able to find a way out that they just started attacking me physically. And so things would fly out of nowhere. And I broke my spine. I broke multiple ribs. I got two business, nerdy business guys with shiny briefcases saw me stop at a crosswalk on my bike, and something blew from left to right and thrust me 6 feet, and I flew chest first into the curb. And they were like, what just hit you? And I was like, and the amount of work I had to do to clean that up and stop those attacks was enormous. And unfortunately, it took me the longest to realize that homies like me, guys like me, can never drink alcohol. You know, it might have been a twice a month or three times a month on the weekends type of thing, but I would like go for it, right? I'm like, let's do this. The energetic hole that drug puts in you is an absolute gateway for these things. And guys like me and guys like you probably should never, ever drink alcohol.
Well, it opens up gateways and pathways, and it allows them to hook into you. I mean, the Arabic root for alcohol is spirit or gin.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. Well, and it's, you know, if you're not minding your spiritual store on a very regular basis, it's dangerous to mess with your consciousness. I still do, you know, I'll microdose a little bit of psilocybin. That seems to help. Just kind of creates a nice, like takes a little bit of an edge off. But other than that, most of the other things don't do much for me anyway. And the meditation takes me off in a super beautiful way. They don't really need it anymore. We had like an engagement party in Taipei with my wife's like family, and they poured everyone some wine. And I'm not kidding you. I'm so attuned to my body now that I took one drink of wine just to be part of it, right? And for the next hour and a half, I felt just this like foreign yuckiness. I didn't feel any effects of the alcohol, but I knew it was there. And I was like, no, okay. That's like, you start to really understand the subtleties of your consciousness when you...
Well, your body begins to reject such things. Like, for example, if someone were to cram my mouth at gunpoint with like a Happy Meal or like a McDonald's burger or something, I would just have it in my mouth. It would be like a lump of clay. It's like, what is this doing in my mouth? Am I supposed to ingest this? No way. No how, because you know that it doesn't belong in you. It's something profoundly evil.
Right.
Well, we'll get more into this. It's been a fascinating first segment. Tell people how they can access your book and get a hold of you if they have any questions, Ben.
Yeah, so I have a website, a newer website. It's ikeepnotdying.com. That's the name of the book. I've begun doing some sessions for people, probably only done about 10, but the feedback has been amazing. And I'm not going to tell anybody who they are in a past life, and I'm not going to sex you up with big promises about how powerful you are. It's practical stuff, and I'm doing it for cheap. And by cheap, I mean I'm doing it for the price that I charge for guitar lessons, because I've been priced out of way too many people. I think it's ridiculous how much people are charging. If you want to, if you're dealing with any astral interference, any negativity inside, or need some meditation, connection hacks, ikeepnotdying.com. And then I have music too. That's at bengordonshow.bandcamp.com.
And be sure to plug into his website, and definitely his is a story that needs to be told. For our dear listeners and friends out there, if you like what we do, if you believe what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.